1 Corinthians chapter 6. Here's the title, John. And such were some of you. And such was some of you. I got a good church here. I want to keep it that way. I'm just going to have a reality check with all of us today. We got a lot of different ministries going. We're going to have a lot of different types of people in our church. And I'm going to tell you, I want to keep that love in our church. And sometimes we just need to be challenged with stuff we already know. Amen? Let's stand for the reading of God's Word. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, look at verse 9 through 11. 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? And that's the truth. We're unrighteous, but we get God's imputed righteousness when we get saved. I'm still unrighteous, but I've got the imputed righteousness of Christ that God sees when he sees me through Christ. Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Wow. Look at the next verse. And such were some of you. And that's my title. And such were some of you. Don't look down your noses. You were named in that bunch right there. But now, because you've been saved, you are washed. But you are sanctified. We're put set apart in Christ. But you are justified. God sees us just so we've never sinned. Isn't that exciting? Amen. But you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. What a tremendous verse. Heavenly Father, I really believe you put this in my heart. I pray the church will get the spirit that I'm preaching this in. And I pray we'll always have love for every single person. No matter where they come from, no matter what they are, dear God, may we realize that we're all sinners just saved by grace. And God, our hearts should be warm and open arms to all people always, no matter who they are, what they are. So, Father, tonight, help me just to be a blessing to our people. Thank you for each one here tonight. Holy Spirit, fill me. May Jesus Christ be honored and glorified in all that we say and do, and we'll praise you in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I really believe these verses here, 9 through 11, are a good personal check for people who have been saved, especially for those who have been saved for a long time. Because when you've been saved for a long time, you get cleaned up, and you cut your hair, and you get rid of a lot. You grow in grace, and you get rid of a lot of those things that you had before you were saved. Get rid of them. And sometimes, you know, we look a lot different than new converts or people visiting the church. But you know what? There's other than the clothing and maybe a haircut, there's no difference. We're still an old sinner saved by grace. I like what a man said. I don't dress up to impress you. The reason I dress up, because I just want to proclaim I'm serving Christ. I want to show on the outward what God's done on the inward. Amen? And but I want us to just look at this verse for maybe 30 minutes tonight. And I'm just going to give you a few little thoughts. Notice in verse 11, and such were some of you. Hey, you Christians who think you're so high and mighty, have you forgot where you came from? Hey, Christian who think you're better than others, have you forgot? And such were some of you. Hello? Did you forget where you came from and what you used to be? Hey, do you think you're in another higher social class than others? Did you soon forget about what you used to do yourself? Oh, man, don't look down on other people. You came from the same place. We've got a lot of different ministries now. We got our jail ministry going. We got our biker ministry going. We've got the Reformers Anonymous going. And we got all kinds of different ministries. And we're going to be bringing all kinds of different people in this church. And I don't care who they are and what they are. I don't care what they are. They need to feel loved in here. And I'm going to tell you right now, preacher used to be a big drinker. Man, I'm glad for the people that are drinking come in here. I want them to get set free like I was set free. Amen? And so tonight I'm just going to do a little reality check for all of us. And just to try to encourage us to never forget where we came from. Amen? Well, notice verse 11 again. In verse 9 he says, adulterers, fornicators, effeminate, all these drunkards, verse 10, shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And look, then he's looking at verse 11. And such were some of you. Hey! Some of you were you. Matter of fact, whoever was in this church at that time at Corinth, some of you were fornicators. Some of you were having sex out of holy wedlock. See, a fornicator is not married. Adulterer is one that's got married and cheating. Are you with me? Some of you, hey, you that have got a nice suit on now and a tie and got your hair cut, don't look down at that fornicator. You used to be one yourself. Hey, as I look out of the crowd, some of you were idolaters. Don't look down on these people. Hey, some of you were adulterers. Some of you were effeminate. In other words, you were queer or gay, they call them. Are you with me? They like the other sex. No, they like the same sex. To me, it's the other. But anyways, some of you were not right. Do you know what, though? I like what this one man said. You know, I'm against abortion. And I'm against the homosexual movement. But I'm not gonna reach those people by standing on a corner with a sign saying, God hates you queers. Or God's sending you queers to hell. Don't get mad at me. All that's gonna do is cause more division. But I'll tell you what could help me is not to become one, but when ones around me, if I would treat them with kindness and courtesy and walk with God and let them see Christ, maybe I could reach that person. Amen? I like what that one preacher said. He said, we've become so separated in our churches, and I'm for separation, please don't misunderstand me, that we forget where we came from. If someone's not like we are, get away from me. I'd have no time for you. We better have time for every person. Amen? And some of you were, you there looking down, some of you were abusers of themselves with mankind. There were people in there. Hey, some of you that are looking down, he says, some of you were abusers of mankind. Oh, now you're saved. Now your sins are washed. Now you've been sanctified. Now you've been justified. But boy, you're looking down your holy nostril at these. But you were right with them 10 years ago. Hello? We got a guy that sits here every Sunday morning on the front row, Brother Rick. He's battling the alcohol and stuff. I'm going to try to love him and encourage him. I hope he makes it. And he got a feeling welcome in this church. Brother Jack, it won't be long because I know today's November, tomorrow's December, but pretty soon, I was looking in April. April's only a few 4 months away. I'm going to tell you, those motorcycles will be revving up again. And Sean, I want to have another blessing of the bikers. And we're going to invite those people into our church with their headbands and their tattoos and everything. And I'm going to tell you, I want them to feel loved here. I might not embrace their lifestyle, but Christ died for them. And we ought not get an attitude. Oh, I'll tell you, that preacher and them bikers, they're trying to get our church messed up here. Get all those skinhead and tattooed dudes in our church. They're going to mess my church up. And Tommy Annie going to the jail ministry, bringing those jailhouse rock guys here. this church is going down the tubes. No, it's going up. It's going right where Jesus wants it to go. Then you're out today doing the special needs kids. Man, what's he want to bring those special needs kids in? We got enough pounds of our own. No, we need everybody. Jesus loves them all. And we get a mindset. I know we use Andy all the time, but you know, when Andy first came, he was just a big rugged kid with long hair. Now you look and say, oh man, what a great member of Bethel. I love you just as much as I do today as I did then, Andy. You were always special in preacher's eyes. And Pastor Dave, we loved you all the time. And you know what? We got to be careful. We need to be careful not to get too high-minded. Hey, I think it's great to keep ourselves with our haircuts and dress right. But I think we need to give people opportunities to grow in grace. You know what a church, by the way, I like ladies wearing dresses, and I'm against mini skirts. But sometimes, Brother Bobby, it might not be wrong to see a few women here with mini skirts. They're just lost people or just saved. It shows that we're out visiting, knocking on doors. By the way, some of you ladies used to wear mini skirts. Some of you ladies used to wear those britches. You know what I'm talking about. Oh, now we look down. Oh, boy. Yeah. Oh boy! But what about when we first got saved? Hello, we soon forget that, and such were some of you. Hello, those guys are out drinking, running all night, and tearing up those bars. I guarantee you, me and the deacon could tell you a couple. I'm not allowed to, but I'm gonna tell you. And I guarantee you, there's a lot of people here who could say, preacher, we were there. Let's never look down on those poor people that are there right now because, and such were some of you. Hello? Am I making any sense? And such were some of you. Look at this. He said, such were some of you were fornicators. Some of you were adulterers. Some of you were idolaters. Some of you were effeminate. Some of you were abusers of themselves with mankind. Some of you were thieves. Some of you were covetous. Some of you were drunkards. Some of you were revilers. You know what a reviler is? It's someone that treats with people with contempt and uses abusive language. Real rough, real offensive, obnoxious. How many of you have ever been around people like that? He said, some of you used to, now you can speak the lingo. Now you know the Baptist language. Hello? But some of you, such were some of you before you got saved. And even after you got saved. Some of you were extortionists. You know, I counted them, Bob. There was 10 particular sins mentioned there. If I counted right, there's 10 particular sins. Fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, effeminate, abusers of themselves of mankind. Number 6, thieves. Number 7, covetous. Number 8, drunkards. Number 9, revilers. And number 10, extortioners. I counted 10, if I counted them right. You know what went through my mind, Annie? I thought about the 10 commandments. Because the 10 commandments, although they're not the same as these, the 10 commandments had one thing to show you, that God was holy and you were unholy. That God was sinless and we are sinners. And that we couldn't live up to God's law. The Ten Commandments, all the Ten Commandments did was say, God's up here and you're down there and you can't get up to there without a bridge. And Jesus is the way. Of course, the Bible says this, the Ten Commandments was a schoolmaster, the Bible says in the New Testament. It was to bring us to Christ, you see. James said, if you fell in one, you failed in them all. Well, I didn't commit that one. Yeah, but you did that one. So it's like, how many of you ever played dominoes? It's fun setting them up. How many of you ever just set them up and just push them? I think they do that for a big Ripley, believe it or not, or some kind of thing. That's how many they can knock down every year. And what was it called? Is it Ripley, believe it or not, or some kind of? And yeah, Guinness Book of Records. That's what I was wanting. Yeah. Either way, they're both crazy. They're both of them. But. They line them up to see every year how many more they could do, and they do like bridges and all kinds of stuff, and they go up and down, around, you know. And but they, it falls one, just by one, knocking over one, and knocking. And James said, "Hey, you think you're a goody two shoe? Oh, you might not did some of those of the Ten Commandments, but you've done one, and because you've done one, you're all knocked down." There's only one man that walked on this earth that never committed any sin, and that was Jesus Christ, the Son of God. So what did I get from those 10 particular sins? I think God was saying, hey, hello, hello, hey, you Christians out there that are saved and sanctified and really set apart, don't forget, you're just sinners saved by grace, because all have sinned. There's none good, no, not one. And hello, you with your nose in the air, you with your scornful tongue and your critical eye, did you forget you're a sinner too? Paul didn't ever forget. He said, I'm the chiefest of sinners. Hello, did you forget where you came from? Let's not ever forget where we came from. Let's don't go back there, but let's not ever forget where we came from. I mean, you're passing judgment on that poor sinner, and you used to sit in the same very seat that he did. Isn't it amazing how soon we forget? Did you notice that? We soon forget, don't we? We soon forget the blessings of God. We soon forget the how God saved us and forgave us and took us out of these things. And sometimes we get a pharisaical look and a pharisaical air about us and say, well, those poor slobs, they deserve to go to hell. No, we all deserve to go to hell. There's a scripture over in Psalms 103. He had, I think it's verse 10, Psalms 103, verse 10. He had not, I think it's verse 10. He had not dealt with us, either 10 or 11. He had not dealt with us what we deserved. I can't remember. Did you know how to quote it, Mark? Yeah. He had not dealt with us according to our iniquities. Because if he dealt with all of us according to our iniquities, we're all going to hell. We're all hopeless. We're all doomed. We're all in judgment. We're all condemned. I showed that couple yesterday. It's from east, and it keeps going. But he said, to let you know, they did, as far as east is from west, that's how far he's forgiven all your sins. Aren't you glad he's forgiven all our sins? But sometimes we forget that we've been forgiven, and we don't want to forgive others. Hello? We need to always remember, because he's forgiven us, there ought to be a reservoir of forgiveness in our heart for others. Amen? Now stay with me. Hey, you that are so high and mighty and think you're better than others, look in the mirror. Hey, you that are so, did you forget the old diary that you used to write about how your sinful life was? And such, by the way, and the words keep coming back in verse 11, and such were some of you. And such were some of you. Hello? Still with me? We need to be careful we don't become like the Pharisees of Jesus' day. We think we are an upper social class of people, and we look down on others. And I'm going to tell you something. Every church needs some young Christians in it that are growing in grace to remind us. We need to be an example, and they need to be a testimony to us that where we came from. Hello? I want you to see what the Pharisees said about Jesus. Look at Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 2 and verse 15. And it came to pass, and it always does. Am I in the right place? That as Jesus sat at meat in his house, many, are you in Mark 2:15 with me? Many publicans and sinners sat also together with Jesus and his disciples. Jesus went to where the sinners were. For they were many, and they followed him. And when the scribes and the Pharisees saw him eat with the publicans and the sinners, they said unto his disciples, how is it that he eateth and drinketh with publicans and sinners? How could your Savior mix with these low grade of people? How could your Savior Christ associate with that form a class of people. Man, they're just the scum of the earth. Why would Jesus be with the scum of the earth? Because he loved them. Because he died for them. He was going to die for them. And they were as important to Jesus as the other ones were. Did you know Jesus is no respecter of persons? And when Jesus heard it, verse 17, he said unto them, they that are whole have no need of a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. You know where our biggest target should be? Go after sinners. No matter who they are, go after them. How many believe that Christ died for all sinners? So, is there anyone that we should overlook? Is there anyone we should treat like a leopard and say, oh man, we can't touch those people, they're unclean? Hello? I'm so glad that God looked down. I'm so glad when I used to walk out every night and say, God, I know you're up there. There's got to be more to life than this. I'm so glad he looked down and said, I'm going to show you. I'm glad he didn't have a deaf ear to me. I'm glad he looked down on an old kid that was into trouble and was drinking and into all kinds of mischief. I wasn't a mean kid, but I was always getting in something. I like excitement. I really do. You want to hunt with? You want to have an excitement? Hunt with little Eddie. Hunt with Eddie Wilson once in a while. He'll take you a place where you're not supposed to be. Brother Mike found out, and there's always some excitement with Brother Eddie. But especially when he's driving his car, that's real excitement. You better take that song nearer to God than thee, though. I'm coming home, Lord, when he drives. But I'm going to tell you something. We have an attitude sometimes, Brother Mark. Well, those people, I don't really like those people. They're a bad image for our church. No person's a bad image for our church. Christ wants all people. This church is going to mushroom someday. And the way it's going, I know it's going to. But I never want to get an uppity look. I want us all just to be like we started, down to earth. I don't think we should ever become so bigger than what we are. Because we aren't big at all. The only thing we are is what God made us. Josh, if it wasn't for Christ saved me, I probably wouldn't be alive right now. And not only would I not be alive, I wouldn't be in heaven, I'd be in hell. He wouldn't have saved me. Hello? And by the way, and such for some of you would have been too. I want you to see something. Jesus said, I've not came to call the righteous. Yeah, I came to call the sinners to repentance. Those people out there that you think, man, those people are scumbags. No, those are the ones God wants. I was talking to Brother Dave this morning about he went to the hood, I think he called it. Jesus would go to the hood. That would be one of the first places. He would love to go to the hood because he cares about those people. By the way, I'm not talking about color of skin. I'm talking about just people. People down in the... people. There's no color with God. They're all souls and mankind. Be glad when he gets there. We won't have that stinking racial barrier anymore. Amen? Jesus came for sinners. Jesus went to all people. He and all walks of life. There was no social barriers for Jesus. He had no respect for any people. He was not a respecter of any people. He cared for all people. We sing the song, red and yellow, black and white, they're all precious in his sight. Think with me. Jesus, he came to the rich, and he went to the poor also. He went to the up and coming, and he went to the down and depressed, and even those in the tombs, like the maniac. He went to the lovely, and then he went to the ugly. He went to the good, and he went to the bad. No one was overlooked. Jesus came for all people. Jesus would go to the every walk of life, the drunkard, the liars and the cheaters and the bankers and the down and outers and the prostitutes. Remember the woman at the well? Hello? Listen. We need to have a heart for all people. By the way, I wrote this down. Matthew, he called Matthew. You know what Matthew was? He was, and what was that? A tax collector. Do you know what tax collectors were? Thieves. They cheaters. He called one of those to be his disciple. He called Peter and Andrew fishermen. Now, brother, you that are in the Navy, I'm not trying to, oh, no Navy men. But most people on the ships, they have a foul mouth. They are known to be very outspoken. They're rough and ready. That's why Peter was all ready to get in fights all the time. You know, he was chopping people's ears off. And Jesus had to put them back on, remember? I mean, Peter, I love Peter. I really like Peter. He's one of my favorite guys. He really is. I love Peter. they pushed him wrong. He got them. See, I'm still biblical. I might not be right, but I'm biblical. And so, but look up here. He called them. Aren't you glad he didn't overlook you? I thought about, we sing this song with the kids, Josh, on the bus and in the super church. Brother Brent, you sing about Zacchaeus. And I can, Zacchaeus was a wee little man. A wee little man was he. And then he climbs up a sycamore tree to see what he could see, right? And then he saw Jesus, Luke 19. Josh, he's loving this. So is Levi. I can't wait to go deer on. This guy's killing me. He's killing me already. What were the words? Do you remember what Zacchaeus said in Luke 19 right after he got saved? He said, Lord, if I've cheated anybody, I'll pay him back fourfold. Hello? I'm glad Jesus didn't put his nose up to Zacchaeus. I'm glad he didn't look down on Peter and Andrew. Hello? James and John, sons of thunder. Hello? Wanting to bring fire down on people. I'm in that kind of vein too, really. I could have been one of those early disciples. I really could have. I fit better now. I fit better with those guys than I do with today. What I want you to say is this. Every one of us here that are saved tonight, we ought to just be thankful we're saved. And but by the grace of God, we'd be some of those people that we look at sometimes say, well, those poor saps, we're just like them. But by the grace of God. We better never forget that. Amen? Look at John, two scriptures, and I'll close. Look at John chapter 3. Two scriptures. John 3:17. You know 3:16. By the way, boy, this John 3:16 tie is taking off in this church. I saw five guys in the Sunday service had the same tie on. Four plus me. I think we're going to have a John 3:16 day here, and everybody wear that tie. I love this tie. Mike, I got to get you one because everywhere you go, hospitals, people talk. Everywhere I go, I have three of these ties. I have three of them. Because it's my favorite tie. And when I go to the hospitals, there's hardly anywhere, store, anywhere. People always come and say, I like your tie. And it gives me a way to witness to them. It's such an opening. And I'm telling you, I've hardly ever wore this tie, ever. This or the other ones I had, this particular type of tie. Where someone has always said something to me every time I wore it. It's a great time. I see a lot of guys are buying. I'm glad. You get them at Walmart or Sam's. But anyways, look at 3:17. For God sent not a son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Look up here. Bobby, I don't need to condemn the drunkard or the harlot or the effeminate. They're already condemned. Why would we want to push them down farther? They're already there. We need to reach out with the love of God and say, man, listen to me. I don't agree with your lifestyle, but I want to tell you about Christ that loves you. And what I'm trying, I don't agree with those lifestyles. Don't misread me. But what I'm saying is many times in our fundamentalism, because they don't fit into our church, we don't have no concern for him. But I'm trying to tell you, you and I would have never fit. Can you imagine back years ago when your mommy was young and Rosie's dad was young and he helped build that little Friendship Baptist Church? By the way, Joe the plumber used to be a member of Friendship, the church that I surrendered to preach in. Years ago, Joe the plumber was a member there. He recently went to Henry Cockrell's, Rosie's brother's church up there in Monclova. But when I walked in as a kid the first time, actually about the first 10 times or more, I was a hood. Yeah, man. I was like a Fonzie. I was a sharp-looking kid, dark black hair, 158 pounds. I wore a black leather coat, $300 jacket. It was pure leather, one of those cheap imitation junk. It was, I'm telling you. And I was sharp. And I walked in. I thought I was sharp. You know, I stuck out in that church. You know, I don't know. I probably had ragged. I don't know what else I wore, but, you know, I wore my street clothes. I didn't smoke cigarettes, but I always had my shirts rolled up. Hello? Can you imagine what went through their mind, Andy, when they first saw me? Oh! That's Rosie Cockrell's. Did you see the boyfriend of John and Betty's daughter, Rosie? That kid's a hoodlum. They brought a criminal to our church. The deacons better start taking the offering plates and put them in the back before he can get his hands in them. I hope he's not carrying a gun. I hope he doesn't knife one of us. I can't imagine what went through their mind. But I'm glad I got to hear the word of God. I'm glad they didn't bar the doors. I'm glad instead of pushing me away, they embraced me. I want to just tell you, there's a lot of different people out there. Oh, you look sharp now, Andy. Sharp kid. But can I tell you, you were always a sharp kid. You're just up to the standards now. I'm going to tell you, he was always up to the standards. Because God loved him as much then as he does now. But we, now he's teaching music right now. He's teaching two of my grandchildren how to play the guitar and stuff. He gives lessons. You want lessons? Go see him. But here's a kid that they wanted to push out of our church. I think he's a bad influence on us. He's not a bad influence. He's got to grow in grace. You know, eventually I took the jacket off. I got rid of my knife. I got rid of the chucks. And, you know, I got rid of the things I used to carry. I took the beer out of the back of my trunk and got rid of it. And believe it or not, brother, the guys I ran with, I quit running with them. And Grandma, no one told me I had to. The guys I used to run the streets with, they said to me, "Boy, you're no fun no more." And they called me up and say, "Hey, we're going out there. We're gonna." I said, "I'm not going." And they'd say, they used to call me Big R, because I was always a strong kid when I was a kid. I was like this boy, he was a pretty strong boy. And I was quick when I was young. I was quick, Cody. Now I'm just an old man now. Still got a temper though. Watch out, the old man still could hurt somebody if he had to. For about 2 minutes, I ran out of breath. After that, I'm done with. I'm waving the flag. But I'm so glad. They called and they said, "Hey, we're going out." And I said, one day they came over, and I said, "You know what? Don't come over no more." I said, they said, "Boy, that religion's ruined you. You're no fun no more." And I said, "You know what? I just don't want to do it no more. Something's different. I just want to read the Bible and understand more about Jesus." And they were like Stephen. Wah! And I remember them driving. I said, They said, we're not coming back no more. If you want us, you call us. We're not coming back. I said, okay, fellas. No one told me how to do that, but it was something inside me. But you know what? And so when I find guys like my buddies that I used to run with, like Tommy and Jim and Hammond, and when I see guys like that, my heart goes out for them because, and such were some of you. When you read about that woman at the well, that was a harlot. Such, by the way, a harlot, but there's also adulterers, men and women both. And such were some of us. And such were some. How many are with me? When we read about the drunkards and the extortionists, people stealing stuff, hello? Don't look down on all those people. Sean, we were there. When I was a kid, I rode a motorcycle. I was with that wild bunch. Man, I feel more. When I was in jail 2 weeks ago, I felt comfortable with those guys. I don't want to be enjoying with them, but they didn't bother me. Felt like they gravitated to us right away, didn't they, Mark? Mike? It was amazing. I tell you why. I've said what they've said. I've done what they've done. I've sat where they sat. And such were some of you. Don't look down at those people in the jail. Don't look down at these people trying to pull their life out in Reformers Anonymous. Don't look down on that prostitute. Don't look down on that drug addict. Because such were some of you. I never took drugs. But I got enough of my problems besides that. Hello? And I think we forget. Brother Cadaver, I think sometimes if we don't watch it, we forget where we came from. And I don't ever want us to forget. I don't want us to ever go back there. No, God don't ever want us to go back to Egypt. But for the grace of God, I could be sitting with Brother Rick today. He's not here tonight, but I could be. How many of you understand what I'm trying to tell you? And this church should always have a love for all sinners. I don't care who they are, and I don't care what they are. We ought to have a love for them and a concern, because in such were some of you. And by the way, most of us we're all in there somewhere, because all of us were sinners. Might be no particular thing, but you were in there somewhere, because all sin and come short of the glory of God. Let me close this out. See, Jesus didn't, in 3:17, he didn't come to condemn the world. He came that they might be saved. Let's try to get them saved. Jesus, they were already condemned. He was coming to get them justified. Why do we want to keep pushing them down more, Brother David? Preacher, why don't we try to help them up? Look at one scripture, not quite. I'm actually going to read it. I'm going to stop preaching. John chapter 8. Look at verse 1 through 11. I'm just going to read it and we're going to close. It's so perfect what I'm teaching on tonight. John chapter 8, verse 1. Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. Early in the morning, he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him. They're in church. Hello? The temple, synagogue? And he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and the Pharisees, the hierarchy, the social big group, are you with me? The snot noses that think they had no sin, brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. My question is, why didn't they bring the man too? They both were guilty. Why didn't you just bring the woman? Little sissies, they probably couldn't fight the man. And they took the weaker vessel. Bunch of saps. Hello? And now Moses in the law, he commanded us that we should stone her, that they should be stoned. But what sayest thou? I love those. By the way, no one in this church has provoked me to preach this message. No one. I haven't had one person say, I don't want those stinky bus kids. I don't want, you know, I don't want those little kids tearing my church up. I don't want those drunkards. I don't want, you know, I don't want those street people. Not one person's ever came to me about the bikers. Not one. They know enough not to. But here's a perfect example. Because, see, you get these high, fancy churches. They have an image they want to keep. And the poor fellow down the street fellow brings a bad image. You know what I loved about First Baptist Church? First Baptist Church was the largest church in the world, in America, fundamentalist. And they reach every kind of, they've got every kind of ministry you can imagine. Every kind of, they got more ministries than Carter's got pills. Because when Dr. House, I know, same thing with Dr. Scott, every person mattered. Every soul mattered. They had a jail ministry. They got an armed service ministry. They got probably 500 different ministries. They got 10,000 people in there. Got plenty of people to work. You got a college of a couple thousand kids. You got 2,000 workers right there. Hello? But what I liked about when Dr. Howes was there, they didn't care who. I remember in pastor school one year, Dr. Howes, this woman just had been saved for about a month, Mike. She was a prostitute off down on Calumet. He brought her up. Said, hey, I want you fellas to see one of our converts. She's only been saved for about a month. And he said, would you tell them what you were if you just not? And there was ladies and men both there. I mean, see, he wasn't ashamed. He loved everybody. There was no one that he didn't love. I'm telling you, if we, Brother Kataver, if you and I can't love everybody, then we're in trouble. I mean that. We need to have love for every person that walks in this church. I don't care what kind of clothes they have. I don't care who they, I don't know how much money, I don't care what, the social status should have no bearing. It's an eternal soul, and we ought to care about that person's life. And as we keep getting larger, Jackson, we've been running close to 300, today was a low day, we were only like 225, 240, somewhere in there. Normally we've been running like clear, almost 300, 290, 280, right in there. Matter of fact, Brother Jackson, if we don't hit 300 now, Brother Jackson will disappoint. I'm glad he is. But our church was high, but our bus kids were low today. That's why we didn't have the higher number. But you're going to see all kinds of people walk in here. Listen, we're knocking on doors every week. There's someone knocking on doors every day of the week, and then we got all these different ministries. You're going to see people come from all walks of life. And they better feel welcome here. They better feel welcome. Because they are welcome here. Jesus loves them. And we ought to love them too. Because and such were some of you. You might see this old poor woman and man tore down, walk in, and you, but you know what? A few years ago, and such were some of you. Oh, we're all cleaned up now. I'm gonna preach a little bit longer than I thought. I could take you to Holland, Ohio today, and I won't tell you their names. A sharp couple that when I was in Toledo, I led to Christ. He drove a motorcycle. He was an iron worker. And they were living together without being married. She didn't even own undergarments. She was a lady in the fast lane. And he had a lot of problems himself. And I led both those people to Christ. And boy, they cleaned up. Once they got saved, Bobby, they lived 5 weeks together, and he never touched. They said, "Preacher, we know it's wrong. We're getting married in 5 weeks, and we had to wait for evidently for something to go through." They didn't touch one another. And for after they got saved, they said, "We won't touch each other until we get married." And she could sing beautiful, had a beautiful voice. He led my singing. Sharp, I mean a guy that was really a sharp looking guy. And boy, they, people come and say, wow. Matter of fact, I'd preach in churches. They sometimes would come and sing in some of the churches for me. And people say, wow, man, are those people fantastic. And only I knew and they knew and God where they came from. See, they glittered nice after God cleaned them up. See, and such were some of you. See, a lot of us are glittering. A lot of us glitter now. And that's good. I'm not knocking. I want us to glitter for God. Please don't misread me. I want us to be glittering for God. I want us to have standards. But I don't ever want us to forget where we came from. And these that don't have what we have, let's not look down on them because we were there at one time in our life. Let's let them get a chance to go where we come up to where we are. We lose a lot of people because we run them out of our churches. Hello? Am I boring you folks? I'll read this scripture and I'll close. Look at in John 8. Look in verse 5. Moses in the law commanded us saying, she should be stoned. But what sayest thou? This said, they tempting him, that he might, Jesus, have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down. I like this. And with his finger, wrote on the ground. And as though he heard not them not. You can imagine. You know your kids, you ever talk to your kids and they're doing something? You're, hello, hello, Tiffy Brooke, Natalie, Austin, Ready Ray, Lukey. You know, they hear us, but you know, it's amazing how our kids can turn us off if they want to. How many of you ever went there with your kids? Jesus acted like he couldn't hear them. He shut them out. And so when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, he that's without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. Boy, can any of us say we've never sinned? How many stones would you and I be throwing? Not one. And they which heard it began being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. And when Jesus had lifted up himself, he saw none but the woman. And he said unto her, woman, where are thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, no man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Lizzie, if our Savior don't even condemn them, we sure shouldn't. Are you with me? He didn't have to condemn. She was already condemned. People are condemned. They got to get saved. Hello? He said, I didn't come here to condemn people. I come here to save people. So when we see a fallen person come into our church, let's not look down on them. Want to put them before a tribal law. Let's show compassion. Because, and such were some of you. I'm going to read these two things. I'm all done. I'm leaving you. Before we pass judgment on someone, we need to remember these two things. Number one, Jesus died and shed his blood for that person that we're judging. And number two, and we better remember, and such were some of you. When you're looking down at that person, remember, and such were some of you. Heavenly Father, thank you for the time we had in your word. I pray, dear God, that our hearts would be caring and concerned for others. Help us, dear God, never to be like the Pharisees and the scribes, to put people in social classes, some better than others. Oh God, there's none of us that are good. All are righteous but filthy rags, the prophet Isaiah said. Lord, I just pray with all my heart, as you bring lost sinners into our church, may we sinners that have been saved and sanctified and justified, because as such, we were some of them, and such were some of you. Lord, we're just like them. Help us to remember that you love them, you died for them, and that a while back, we were just like them also. Maybe that would move our hearts to reach out in a more compassionate way. Help us, my Father. Help us to love the world that's perishing. Oh God, help us to look on every man for the need of Christ. We ask these things in Jesus' name, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. First of all, you're here tonight, you've never trusted Christ as your Savior. He loves you. I don't care what you are and what you're doing. He loves you. He loves you tonight. He cares about you. He died for you. He rose. He reaches out in love. If you're here and you never trusted Christ as your Savior, tonight, why don't you make Christ your Savior? He cares about you. Oh, he doesn't care. Yeah, he cares about you. And Christian, let's not get into a attitude of a higher social class, because and such were some of you. Let's not entertain the devil to make us think that we're better, that we're something. Help us not to get high-minded, that we think we're really something when we're really nothing, but by the grace of God. Father, I preach what I believe you told me to preach. Bless my people. I have a great church. Help us to remember this truth. May our hearts always care for others. May we never let Satan try to make us into a social class where we think we're better, where we look down on other types of sinners, when we ourselves were those very sinners years ago. Help us to reach out in love and compassion, I pray. In Christ's name, amen. We'll stand. We'll sing a verse. What page are you on, Mark?